إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our third session, reading from that which has been entitled Manhajun Yawmiyun Li Talib al-Ilm, a daily routine for the seeker of knowledge. By Al-Imam, an advice by Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah. Tonight, we want to continue where we left off last week, reading from the first of the four areas that the Shaykh has given advice in. The first of those four areas, yani the manhaj with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And last week, after the introduction, we read yani the first advice under this area of the manhaj with Allah. Tonight, inshallah, we're going to continue with the second advice and third advice and whatever we're able to cover bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Before we do that, we just want to go back a little bit and look at some of the points that we covered last week from the study guide number 2. And I should clarify here that last week we had a number of questions. We only covered what was mentioned in that study guide, the first three questions. We only covered the first three questions. But I modified the study guide and I added 2 more questions. So if you didn't get the modified study guide, you might be missing 2 questions. So there are actually 5 questions for tonight from the modified study guide number 2. First question, explain. Well, it's the same as the first question that we gave out last week. The same first question is here. Explain the first advice mentioned by the author, rahimahullah, under the division of one's manhaj with Allah. The first advice that the Shaykh mentioned under this area of the manhaj with Allah. is your hand up? Fadl.
Reflecting on Allah, contemplate His signs.
And do so constantly. Fayyib. What He has legislated for humanity. Naam. Anybody else want to add to that? You have something or same?
Same.
Same, mashallah. Anybody else want to add to that? Naam.
You didn't hear.
Okay. Can you give it to us in Arabic?
Yes.
Go give it in Arabic. Naam. The Shaykh, he said, the first advice with related to the manhaj with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, ihris, Yani be diligent, eager. Yani make an effort to be with Allah. Yani أن تكون دائما مع الله عز وجل. أن تكون مع الله. دائما مع الله عز وجل. This is the first advice that the Shaykh gave, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah. Yani that a person should strive, should make every effort to be diligent in trying to be with Allah. Yani to be conscious of Allah, to have Allah in the forefront of their mind, daiman, all the time. Yani all the time means day and night, in every situation or circumstance. Mustahdiran azamatahu. Yani calling to mind. Yani mustahdiran means that the person actually makes an effort to bring into the forefront of their mind the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's magnificence, His greatness, His azama. Mutafakkiran fi ayatihi al-kawniyya wa shara'iyya, yani with the details of it. Reflecting upon the signs of Allah, both signs, yani al-ayat al-kawniyya, the universal signs, and al-ayat al-shara'iyya, the legislative signs. With the details of what the Shaykh mentioned, which we're going to talk about in the second question. Yani here, the first thing is what? That the Shaykh is saying, rahimahullah, yani the first thing that should be your routine, your program, your daily course of action is that you should always, constantly be engaged in trying to be conscious, think about the magnificence, the greatness, the glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and reflecting upon His signs, whether they are ayat al-qawniyya, the universal signs of what's in the creation, or ayat al-shara'iyya, that which He has legislated and what He sent by the messengers, alayhi salatu wassalam. Naam. So this is a very important advice, and it is a task. Naam. It is a task that a Muslim who is sincere to their self, meaning who is concerned about their self sincerely, then they will yani have to work at it. And we won't take the matter lightly. We will work at trying to always think about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and reflect upon His signs that show His greatness and His glory and His magnificence and His power and His mercy and His perfection and so on. Naam. Second question, which is was added, yani it was the details of the last part of this first advice from the Shaykh, yani discussed the two divisions of ayat, signs of Allah mentioned by the author, rahimahullah, in this first advice. The two divisions. Naam.
The ayat on the creation of Allah.
The ayat that are in the creation, what Allah has created. Uh huh.
Like the universe.
Uh huh. Things in the universe.
Stuff that is in nature.
Uh huh.
The other division is ayat from the legislation of Allah.
And the ayat of what Allah has legislated. Naam. So the Shaykh. Naam. Naam, some detail, naam.
So
the Shaykh, naam.
In ayati al-qawniyya, sorry, the signs of Allah in His creation, mithli samawati wal ard.
Mithli khalqi samawati.
Mithli khalqi samawati wal ard. Like the creation of the heaven and the earth.
Al-ayat al-qawniyya, like the creation. Like, for example, that's one example, right? The creation of the heavens and the earth. Naam.
And what Allah has placed in both.
And what Allah has placed in them. In the heavens and the earth. What Allah has placed in them. Naam.
Min
balighi.
Min balighi rahmatihi.
Min balighi hikmatihi.
From the splendor of the... from the...
Bari hikmatihi, I mean the far-reaching hikmah, yani the profound hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam.
Far-reaching hikmah wa bahri kudratihi and the glory of His power.
Naam. That which shows the splendor, the glory of Allah's power, yani how much power He has. Naam.
Azimi rahmatihi and the greatness of His rahmah wa minnatihi and His favor.
Naam. And also, yani, the greatness, the magnificence of Allah's rahmah. Yani, that which is in the creation that we see, which manifests the rahmah of Allah. How great is His mercy upon the creation. And His favor, His kindness, His generosity to His creation. Yani, those things that we see, the creation of the heavens and earth, and what Allah has placed in them, which manifests His hikmah, His wisdom, which manifests His qudra, His power and manifest His mercy, His rahmah, and His minna. That's what he said about the yani ayat al-qawniyah. As far as the ayat al-shara'iyah, he said, what are the ayat al-shara'iyah?
Min ayat al-shara'iyah.
Shara'iyati.
Min ayat al-shara'iyati. Allati ba'atha biha rusulahu wa la siyama khatimahum Muhammad sallallahu
alayhi wa sallam. Naam. As far as the ayat al-shara'iyah, naam, you want to translate for us?
The ayat al-sign of Allah in his which he has sent with his prophets, and
especially
the last prophet, Muhammad sallallahu
alaihi wasallam. So if we look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated, the laws that he has legislated for humanity, and what he sent his messengers with, alayhi salatu wasalam, the messengers and prophets of the past, and especially the laws that he sent by the Prophet Muhammad, the seal of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If somebody looks at these yani signs and what Allah has legislated, yani the ayat, these are ayat that show yani also the existence of Allah, the power of Allah, the greatness of Allah, the knowledge of Allah, the wisdom of Allah, and so on. These signs in the creation and what Allah has legislated are two types of ayat of Allah that if a person were to reflect upon them, meaning to think about them, to examine them, to look at them carefully, to ponder over them, then this will indeed, no doubt, yani, make a person to realize the greatness of Allah, the magnificence of Allah, and His power, and His mercy upon His creation, naam, His perfection, and so on, naam. The third question discussed the haji, the guidance of the Prophet ﷺ upon awakening from sleep, yani referred to in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, naam Ibrahim.
The hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, when he spoke that he spent the night at his maternal aunt.
Spent the night with his maternal aunt,
Maymuna
radiallahu anha.
The Prophet
sallallahu
alayhi wa sallam spoke with his family, I believe meaning his wife.
His wife, he spoke with her now
For
some time, yani sa'a, yani meaning sa'a time, not specifically 1 hour now.
Then he lay down, and when it was the last of the night, he sat and he looked in the sky and he read the ayat of Surah Ali Imran, the beginning of.
Naam, he talked to his wife for a little while and then he laid down to sleep. And then when it was the last third of the night, he awakened. And he got up, and he looked to the sky, and he began to recite these ayats from the end of Surah Ali Imran.
And then,
يعني إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Now. And then?
And then after he got up, he said that قام.
قام. Then he stood up. And he made ablution, and he brushed his teeth with miswak. And then he prayed, he performed 11 raka'ah, yani night prayer, tahajjud. And then Bilal radiallahu anhu announced the adhan, the time for the fajr prayer. Thumma kharaja. Salla raka'atayn, Then he prayed 2 raka'ah, yani 2 raka'ah sunnahs of fajr. And then he went out, yani of his room into the masjid and performed the sub, yani the fajr prayer, mashallah. Report about Bukhari and Muslim. Jayyid. This is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the people of Sunnah must know about. Yani we need to know so that we may act upon it. As is mentioned in some of the narrations of this hadith from Abdullah ibn Abbas, that he actually had intent to spend the night with his aunt, his mother's sister, so that he can see the worship of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is he doing in the night? I want to know what he's doing. Why does he want to know? Because he wants to do like him. So if we came to know and then we just sleep through the night, there's something wrong with this. Wallahi, we have to strive against our nafs. It will resist, no doubt. I mean, we are human beings, but we don't accept that. We fight and we fight and we struggle until we overcome it by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah's help. Question number 4. Memorize the first 2 ayat from Surah Ali Imran, from the last ayats of Ali Imran, ayah 190 and 191, from these final ayats of Ali Imran, and one point of benefit from them. Yani, this question requires us to memorize. And you know, we always have to have at least one or two questions where we memorize, because memorization is part of learning. And even for the old people, yes, even the old people, we also have to try to memorize. And no one is exempt. Naam. So who memorized those ayats? Now, yani, just now, not they already knew them before. Okay, who already knew them before, even? Who knew those ayats before? Okay, so it is incumbent upon us to memorize the Quran. And as we will see, the Shaykh, and in the advice that he gives, part of the advice that he gives is memorization of the Quran. It's incumbent upon us, whatever our age is, that we have to be memorizing the Quran. Even if it's just a little bit, we should be engaged in memorization of the Quran. How is it possible that we can memorize anything and we're not memorizing the Quran? What could be more important than memorizing the speech of Allah? So we have to force ourselves with this. And if we have children, then that's not an escape for us, but at least, yani, what we didn't do, we'll try to facilitate for our children to be better than us, as I heard in the khutbah today. Now, that our children should be better than us. We should facilitate the affair, make it possible for them to do more than what we were able to do. Now, and some of you are very young, so we shouldn't even think about children right now. We should be thinking about doing it ourselves. Now, you memorize the first two ayats? Naam, recite. I can't hear good, but I think I heard most of it. طيب خير إن شاء الله بارك الله فيكم. And these ayat are in the book. And for the sake of time, the important matter here is that these ayat, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala is declaring definitively, "Inna fi khalq al-samawati wal-ard wa ikhtilaf al-layli wal-nahar la ayatin li'ulil al-bab." And Allah is declaring that in the creation of the heavens and the earth and the alternation of night and day are signs for the ulul albab. They are not necessarily signs for everyone, but for the ulul albab. Yani, ahlul uqul, the people who have intellect, who have the ability to think, to examine, to reflect, to ponder, and to see the reality of things by the permission of Allah. Yani, there are signs in this for those people, not for everybody. Some people, they look at the sky, mashallah, it's very beautiful, stars are nice, and it's romantic or whatever they might see, but they don't see the greatness and the glory and the magnificence and the wisdom and the perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that. There are signs for ulul albab. Naam. And to the next ayat where Allah describes the ulul albab, which is the next question, right? After memorize, okay, this question has two parts. Memorize the two ayats and also mention one point of benefit from them. One point of benefit from those ayats. I know I was a little bit in rush in the class last week trying to read through the tafsir, but yani, we mentioned several points. Yani, in the tafsir of Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, he mentioned about five or six points concerning these ayats. Anybody remember one of them? For example, he said that in the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Inna fi khalq al-samawati wal-ard," yani, this statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informing us that in the creation of heavens and earth and alternation of night and day are signs, in this statement of Allah is an indication of encouragement, to the people. Then, if Allah is telling us there are signs in them, then for us to look at them and look for the signs, to reflect, to ponder, to contemplate those signs. That's one point that the Shaykh mentioned. And another point he mentioned,
the inna and the lam upper tawkid.
Naam, that grammatically, yani the inna and the lam in the end of the ayat, yani is for tawkid. Or ta'kid, yani emphasis, affirmation. Naam. Another point. And he also mentioned that Allah said these are signs for the ulul albab. The Shaykh, he said, rahimahullah, he said that this is an indication that he specifically singled out the ulul albab, that they are signs for them, because it is the ulul albab, the people who have the intellect, the ability to think and reflect and ponder, It is they who would use the intellect to look at the creation of the heavens and the earth and what is in them. They are the ones who will look at it and therefore benefit from it. Other people, if the person doesn't have the intellect to do so, they will not benefit. So Allah specifically is speaking to the ulul albab that there are signs in this because these are the people who will use their intellect to look at what Allah has created and actually benefit from it. And then he mentioned other points about the vastness of the creation is an indication of the vastness of the greatness and the magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in the ihkam and itqan, the perfection and preciseness of what Allah has created and how He created the things in the universe is also a sign of Allah's hikmah, how He placed everything in its place, and Allah's vast knowledge to do so. And also, and he said that in the things that are benefit to the created beings in the creation, everything that benefits the created beings is also a sign of Allah's rahmah and His minnah and His ihsan towards the creation, his mercy and His favor and His bounty and His kindness and generosity to the creation. These are some of the points that the Shaykh mentioned. Please go back and look at the tafsir of Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di. These ayat are in Surah Ali Imran. And even if a person can't read the tafsir in Arabic, so that portion of the tafsir of the Shaykh has been translated. Rather, the whole translation of Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di has been translated recently. It was published in this past year. So this is a tremendous treasure. This tafsir is one of the most beneficial tafsirs that have been written by any scholar in the history of Islam. It's one of the most beneficial. We're not saying that we forgot about Tabari and Ibn Kathir and so on, no. But certainly this is one of the most beneficial tafsirs that has been written. And the last question, Wallahu Musta'an, I wasn't paying attention to the time. The last question is, mention the two sifat or descriptions of Ulul Albab, the people of understanding mentioned in these ayat. What are the two descriptions that are mentioned in these ayat? Two descriptions. Somebody, anybody in the back? Two descriptions that's mentioned in these ayat. Allah mentioned Ulul Albab, and then in the next ayat He describes them with two primary descriptions. Now, what's your name, brother?
Muhammad.
Muhammad men. Second name? Because we have a few people Muhammad here.
Jimenez.
Barakallahu feekum, ya Muhammad. Naam.
They remember Allah. They remember Allah.
First character is they are those who remember Allah.
And they reflect on His creation.
Naam. What's your name, brother?
Yahya.
Help me, because when you pass 70, you start forgetting, right? So help me, please, inshallah.
And they remember Allah standing, sitting, lying down.
They remember Allah standing, sitting, lying down. Meaning they remember Allah in all situations and circumstances. All the time they're remembering Allah. Not sometimes, once in a while. Just when they're praying, or just when they go to the masjid, or just when they're sitting in a daras or something. They remember Allah standing, sitting, lying on their side. And the Shaykh, he said in the tafsir, that this is an indication that the dhikr that is intended here is all types of dhikr, including the dhikr of the tongue as well as the dhikr of the heart. And this also includes the dhikr that's in salat. Whether the person remembers Allah while they're standing or sitting or lying on their side. Now, and the second description is what? Anybody want to add to the second description? They reflect upon, now? The second description is that they are engaged in contemplation, reflection, pondering the creation of the heavens and earth. Now.
And also they supplicate Allah.
And also from their sifat is that they supplicate to Allah to save them from the hellfire. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min an-nar wa
as'aluka min jannatin. Now. This reflection over the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws into yaqeen certainty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The reflection upon the creation of Allah brings about certainty in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Certainty that there is a creator that exists, that has a tremendous qudra, ability to create this, that has a tremendous knowledge, vast knowledge and wisdom and so on. This reflection enables the person, it benefits the one who reflects upon it, to be certain about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be certain about His greatness and His glory and His magnificence and His perfection and His wisdom and His knowledge and His mercy. Naam. Cause them to be in awe of the Creator. Now, and we're going to talk about that today and what the Shaykh mentions and what follows. Now, Yeah, that this reflection upon the things that Allah has created and the way He has created them and what He has placed in them, this is one of the things that enables a person to be in awe, to recognize, to acknowledge, to be conscious of Allah's azama, His greatness and His magnificence and His glory, and to have fear of Allah and His punishment and fear of His displeasure and so on. Now, we're going to talk about that today, inshallah, and what the Shaykh mentions, what follows. Okay, this is pretty much what the main points that we wanted to cover from last week. I want to begin today by just mentioning from the beginning of what the Shaykh, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, mentions in the beginning of the book. The Shaykh says, قال العلامة ابن عثيمين رحمه الله للسائل فقد سألتني بارك الله فيك أن أضع لك منهجا تصير عليه في حياتك. The Shaykh, in his opening words to in this advice, he said to the person that asked the question, indeed, you have asked me, you have requested from me, may Allah bless you, to write, to compile, to compose for you a manhaj that you will travel upon in your life. And then the Shaykh said, I ask Allah to grant us success, all of us success, to do that which contains al-huda wa-rashad wa-sawab wa-sadad, and to make all of us guides and those who are rightly guided, righteous, and those who rectify, those around us. And then he said, and so I begin by saying, awalan ma'allah, al-manhaj ma'allah azza wa jalla. And then he mentioned the first point, which we talked about last week, be diligent in trying to always, constantly be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning, calling to mind His greatness and reflecting upon His signs in the creation and in that which He has legislated. That's what we talked about last week. And then today, in Arabic, we're on page Al-Amr Al-Thani, the second matter. It's on page 27. And in English, it's on page, the second matter. Somebody help me, should be around 20-something. 25? If you're not mistaken. Okay, inshallah, you're not mistaken. Page 25, the second matter. The second matter. It's on page 25, inshallah. And this is the first area, the manhaj with Allah. The second advice under this matter, the Shaykh, he says, Al-Amru Al-Thani Qala Rahimahullah أن يكون قلبك مملوءا بمحبة الله تعالى لما يغذوك به من النعم ويدفع عنك من النقم ولا سيما نعمة الإسلام والاستقامة عليه حتى يكون أحب شيئا إليك. These are the words of Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen. احرص على أن يكون قلبك مملوءا بمحبة الله تعالى. Be diligent, eager, strive to make your heart so that your heart will be filled with the love of Allah the Most High. Strive to fill your heart with the love of Allah the Most High. Is this something that we actually are consciously making an effort to do? I'm not asking for an answer. I'm just like putting the question for us to think about. Is this something that we as Muslims are actually engaged in constantly, every day, trying to make sure that our heart is filled with the love of Allah? Are we doing that? So if we are not, then we need to be. This is the second advice of the Shaykh under the manhaj with Allah. How should your life, your daily life, be in relationship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You should be striving, struggling, endeavoring, diligent in making your heart to be filled with the love of Allah the Most High. And the Shaykh, he says, lima, due to that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has nourished you with from ni'am, from blessings, bounties and favors. Fill your heart with the love of Allah. لِمَا يَغْذُوكَ بِهِ مِنَ النِّعْمِ. Due to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has nurtured and nourished you with of blessings, bounties and favors unlimited. وَيَدْفَعُ عَنْكَ مِنَ النِّقَمِ. And due to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has pushed away from you. He has repulsed from you. نِقَمْ. Misfortunes, calamities, adversities, trials. Fill your heart with the love of Allah due to the favors that He has constantly blessed you with. And due to what he, how he has protected you and repulsed from you so many misfortunes, so many trials and tribulations and adversities. وَلَا سِيَمَا نِعْمَةُ الْإِسْلَامِ وَالْإِسْتِقَامَةِ عَلَيْهِ. And especially due to, especially due to the ni'mah of Islam and being upright upon Islam. حَتَّى يَكُونَ أَحَبَّ شَيْءٍ إِلَيْكَ. And here, يعني the Shaykh says, حَتَّى يَكُونَ, يعني يَكُونَ, so that, يَكُونَ, يعني refers back to what? Allah. يعني حَتَّى يَكُونُ هُوَ Allah أَحَبَّ شَيْءٍ إِلَيْكَ. The reason why I'm stopping here is because in the translation, they have translated a different way. Yani the rule in Arabic is that a pronoun should refer to what was the nearest mentioned thing, the last thing that was mentioned. So then they use that rule and they said it refers back to Islam. So that Islam and being upright upon it should be most beloved, the most beloved thing to you. But Allahu A'lam, from the context, it's more clear that what is intended here is not that which was mentioned more recently, but it goes back to the beginning. حَتَّى يَكُونُ, yani fill your heart with love of Allah so that Allah will be the most beloved one to you. So that Allah will be the most beloved one to you. Yani fill your heart with love of Allah so that until you reach the point that Allah, يَكُونُ Allah أَحَبَّ شَيْئًا إِلَيْكَ, that there's nothing and no one more beloved to you than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani keep filling your heart with the love of Allah due to the bounties and blessings and favors and due to how He has protected you and repulsed from you harms and trials and tribulations and difficulties and hardships. Yani keep filling your heart with love of Allah until He becomes the most beloved one to you. Until nothing is more beloved to you than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى until what? أحب إليه من والده ووالده والناس أجمعين. يعني that no one of you really has true iman until the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is more beloved to you than your parents and your children and every, all of humanity. What about Allah then, subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has to be more beloved to us than our parents and our children and anyone of humanity. Then what about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then what about Allah? Because the love of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is only due to the love of Allah. A person will only love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam if they love Allah. They will love the Prophet because they love Allah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent him and missioned him to save us from eternal punishment in the hellfire. Continue to fill your heart with the love of Allah until Allah becomes the most beloved one to you. فهذا أمر عظيم ينبغي على طالب العلم والمسلم عموما أن يعني به أن يعمر قلبه بمحبة الله. The Sheikh Abdul Razak now is speaking commentary. He's saying this is a tremendous affair. أمر عظيم. What is a tremendous affair? Filling your heart with the love of Allah due to all the favors and bounties that He has given to us until He becomes the most beloved one to us more than anything yani in our life or in the creation. This is a tremendous affair. It is incumbent upon the student of knowledge and the Muslims in general to give care to it. That is the filling of their heart with the love of Allah. To give care to this. And again, what is the point giving care to this? It means that we shouldn't take the matter lightly. If I have love of Allah or not, how much my heart is filled with the love of Allah, a lot or less. No, it does matter. Naam, it matters. We have to be concerned about this. We have to be concerned about this. Then the Shaykh says, and this is very important, he's yani pointing out to us something that the Shaykh mentioned in passing. ثَمَّةً أُمُور يُعِينُكَ عَلَىٰ إِمَارَةِ قَلْبِكَ بِهَذِهِ الْمَحَبَّةِ لِلَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Yani then there are some affairs which can help you, can assist and aid you in filling your heart with this love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are some things to help you to do that. Because a person might say, nah, this is a good idea, sounds good, I accept it, but how do you do it? So the Shaykh is saying there are things that help you to fill your heart with the love of Allah. أشار رحمه الله إلى شيء منها. And the Shaykh, يعني Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Faymin, in his statement, he has pointed to, يعني he has pointed our attention to something from those things that will help us to fill our heart with the love of Allah, when he said, لِمَا يَغْذُوكَ بِهِ مِنَ النِّعْمِ. يعني due to fill our heart with the love of Allah, due to that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has nourished you with of blessings and bounties and favors. Yani the Shaykh is saying that here, Shaykh al-Faymin is pointing to that which can help you to fill your heart with the love of Allah, and that is being conscious of, being aware of, recognizing, acknowledging the favors of Allah, the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has bestowed upon you. Then the Shaykh says, انظر نعم الله عليك المتوالية وآله وآلائه المتتالية وأطاياه المتنوعة. So he says, look at the favors of Allah upon you, the ni'mah of Allah, and the ala of Allah, and the ataya of Allah. Yani the blessings, the bounties, the gifts that Allah has given us continuously, consecutively, uninterruptedly, non-stop favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no end to them. In fact, I'm not going to read the letter, but I got a letter from a brother, and he said in his letter to me, he said, I want to share this with you because I think it touched my heart. Yani a brother that I know very well, and he said in the course of something that happened, yani which didn't appear to be a good thing, but he accepted it. And he said, yani, but nonetheless, it still is a mercy from my Lord. Nevertheless, I'm in that place in my life where I deny none of the favors of my Lord. None of them. It's exhausting counting the favors of my Lord. Never ending. The person who wrote this is a brother who is in prison since 39 years. Still in prison right now. And he's saying that he reached a point in his life where he doesn't deny any of the favors of his Lord. Even something that appears to be maybe not a good thing, but you know what? Nonetheless, it's still a mercy from my Lord. I don't deny any of them. There are so many, he said, it's exhausting counting the favors of my Lord. Never ending. Never ending. So what about us? What about a person who has their freedom? Yani a person who is enjoying whatever they want to eat and drink, going wherever they want to go, wearing whatever they want to wear, being with whoever they want to be with. How then exhausting must it be for us to count the favors of Allah upon us? Or we don't recognize them, perhaps. Perhaps we don't see, yani, the unlimited favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. Perhaps we don't recognize them. Naam. He said, look at the favors of Allah upon you, unending, uninterrupted, consecutive, continuous favors, bounties, blessings, gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of various different types. And then he mentions some of them. في صحتك وفي عافيتك وفي مالك وفي مسكنك وملبسك وطعامك وشرابك وولدك وغير ذلك. Some of the favors of Allah, like your good health and well-being. Many of us have good health, any physical good health, and also any equally important well-being, yani that your condition, especially your state of mind, yani is healthy. Your wealth, even if you don't have a lot of money, you have something. Some people have nothing. Your housing, your clothing, your food, your drink, your children, and other than that, and there are many. And if we were here now to ask each person to just mention one of the favors of Allah upon them, perhaps we can spend the rest of the time until yani Maghrib prayer. I'm sure that we can. The Shaykh, he says, فَالتَّفَكُّرْ فِي هَذِهِ النِّعْمِ وَهَذِهِ أَنْمِنًا التي تفضل الله سبحانه وتعالى عليك بها أيضا دفع النقم والشرور والآفات تقبل بقلبك على الله محبة وإمارة للقلب بمحبته سبحانه وتعالى. يعني it is that in the reflection on these favors and bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the gifts that He gave us, yani in abundance, which tafaddala Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alayka biha, yani which Allah gave freely, not that you are entitled to, tafaddala Allah biha alayka, that He gave you just from His generosity, not because you actually did a job, you worked and you earned something. Allah gave them freely to us. The bounties that Allah gave us freely, the favors that Allah gives to us without being deserving of it. We didn't do anything to get it. Allah just gave it because He's generous, because He's kind. Reflecting upon these favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also His repulsing the niqam, the misfortunes, adversities, the shurur, all types of evil, especially the evil that we see in the society every day around us. You can't go out of your house except that you see evil everywhere in every direction. Even if you close your eyes, you will hear it. You will smell it. There's no escape from the shurur, especially in the society of kufr. But it's not limited. The evil that He has repulsed from us, the afat, yani the afat, it means those things that whenever it occurs, whenever it comes to you, it spoils it, it corrupts it, it destroys it. Some of the scholars, they said, the afat al-ilm, yani what is it that is afat al-ilm? It is nisyan. Yani what destroys knowledge is forgetfulness. So how do you avoid forgetfulness? By muraja'ah. Constantly reviewing the knowledge. He said, this reflection on the favors of Allah and His bounties and His blessings and His gifts and what He has repulsed from us of misfortune, of evil, and of those things that spoil everything, it causes us to draw near, to come near to Allah with our heart. Mahabbatan, out of love, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Causes us to draw near to Allah, to dedicate ourselves, to devote ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of love. وَإِمَارَةً لِلْقَلْبِ بِمَحَبَّتِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. And also as a means, these things are also a means of filling our hearts with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani these things cause us to draw near to Allah, to dedicate, to devote ourselves to Allah out of love for Him, and they also fill our hearts with love for Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, yani what we are talking about here is from amongst the means or the ways or the things that will help you to fill your heart with the love of Allah is contemplation, reflecting, acknowledging, being conscious of, calling to mind the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. وَعَظَمُ نِعْمْ أَلَّتِي عِنْدَمَا تَتَفَكَّرُ فِي مِنَّةِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ بِهَا يَزْدَادُ قَلْبُكَ حَبًّا لِلَّهِ نِعْمَةِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَالتَّوْهِيدِ. The greatest, the most magnificent blessing, which when you reflect upon the favors of Allah upon you, how Allah has favored you, yani the greatest of the blessings, from amongst all blessings, if you reflect upon the favors of Allah upon you, which will increase your heart in love of Allah, the greatest of those things that will increase your heart in love of Allah is the ni'mah of Islam wa tawheed. The ni'mah of Islam wa tawheed. Yani the Shaykh, he said, Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he said, وَلَا سِيَمَا, when he talked about the favors that Allah has blessed you with, وَلَا سِيَمَا نِعْمَةِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَالْإِسْتِقَامَةِ عَلَيْهِ. نِعْمَةِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَالْإِسْتِقَامَةِ عَلَيْهِ. And this is very important that we understand the ni'mah of Islam is yani magnified by الْإِسْتِقَامَةِ عَلَيْهِ. Yani perhaps a person is a Muslim. They accepted Islam or they were born in a Muslim family, so they have a ni'mah of Islam. But what magnifies the ni'mah of Islam is istiqama alayhi. And it's not sufficient just to be a Muslim. There are millions, literally millions of Muslims who, yani, we don't see that this is a great favor upon them, that they call themselves Muslims. Because they don't have istiqama. Yani either due to ignorance or due to following desires. The greatest degree of the ni'mah of Islam is if a person has istiqamah. They are upright upon the Islam, yani in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and avoiding His prohibitions. So the Shaykh, he says, Shaykh Abdul Razak, he says, the greatest of the ni'mah of Allah, which will increase your heart in love of Allah, is the ni'mah of Islam and at Tawheed. And then he mentions the ayat in the Quran. And in the Arabic book, I don't know in the English, but in the Arabic book it says Surah Al-Ahzab, but it's actually Surah Al-Hujurat. It's Surah Al-Hujurat. In English, is it also saying Surah Al-Ahzab?
No.
Naam?
Yeah.
So it should be Surah Al-Hujurat, yani 49th surah, 7th and 8th ayat. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ وَقَرَّحَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَالْإِسْيَانِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الرَّاشِدُونَ فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَنِعْمَةً وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ. يعني, however, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ, who caused iman to be endeared, to be beloved by you. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The tawfiq of Allah, if a person has love for iman, that's from the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not because you're so smart or because you're so righteous. Rather, Allah says that it is Him, Allah, who habbaba ilaykum al-iman wa zayyanahu fi qulubikum. Yani, if iman is adorned, is beautified in your heart, yani, if you see it as something beautiful, it's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it beautiful in your heart. Because Allah is the one who controls the hearts. This is also a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He has endeared to us iman and He has made it beautiful, attractive in our hearts. Otherwise, to some people, their Islam is not endeared to them. They don't value their Islam. The proof that a person doesn't value their Islam, if they claim to be a Muslim, is that they don't practice it. Huh? We're not the judge of anybody, but the proof for anybody, for your own self, is to what extent do you practice this Islam. To the extent that you practice it, this is a proof that you know what you have, that you appreciate it, that it's dear to you. Otherwise, if you don't practice it, it's like anything else. If you love something, you care for it, you attend to it, you are possessive of it. And otherwise, you throw it on the side if it doesn't have any value to you. And that's how some people, that's what they have done with their Islam. They have just placed it on the side. Yani, put your religion as, yani, was wrongly stated, put your religion in the closet. Anyway, leave that alone for now. That was a famous statement that was stated. That's not correct. There's no way to put Islam in the closet. Our Islam is our life. Naam. So the Shaykh, he recited this ayah, and then there's a note here. I'm going to just look at this note. Let me see the time. Yeah, we have time, mashallah. There's a note here in the book that's in reference to this statement, that the greatest of the things that increase in your heart the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the ni'mah of Islam and the tawheed. And in the note, it mentions the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Nahl, أَتَى أَمْرُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَسْتَعْجِلُوهُ سُبْحَانُهُ وَتَعَالَى أَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ يُنَزِّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةَ بِالرُّوحِ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ عَلَى مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ أَنْ أَنْظِرُوا أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاتَّقُونَ. That indeed the command of Allah has come. Meaning, yani, the past tense, the scholars of tafsir said that Allah used the past tense here because to make clear the reality that it will definitely come. It didn't come yet, but it will come. Allah said, "Ata amrullah," yani the punishment of Allah for the disbelievers has come, meaning it will certainly come. So don't hasten it. Some of them were saying, "Bring it on." You know, if there's some punishment, bring it. And Allah revealed this, "Ata amrullah." It has come, meaning it will definitely come. So don't hasten it. Subhanahu wa ta'ala amma yushrikun, yani Allah is free from all imperfections. He is high above whatever they have ascribed to him of falsehood or defect or shortcoming or imperfections. يُنَزِّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ بِالرُّوحِ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ, yani the angels descend with the ruh by his command. The scholar said, al-malaika descended, yani with the revelations here means Jibreel alayhi salam descended with the ruh, meaning the wahyi, which the wahyi is the life of the ruh, of the arwah, yani of the human beings. The life of the human being is the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the angel Jibreel descended with the revelation by the command of Allah on whomever he wills of his servants, meaning the prophets and messengers, that they warn the people, أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاتَّقُونِي, warned the people that there's nothing which deserves to be worshipped except I, and therefore observe taqwa of me, yani worship Allah alone. Worship Allah alone. The point here in this ayat is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah sent the prophets and messengers, every one of them, warning the people that there's nothing that deserves to be worshipped except Him. Therefore, observe taqwa of Allah by worshipping Him alone. Al-Imam Ibn Rajab Hanbali, rahimahullah, he said, كَلِمَةِ التَّوْهِيدِ لَهَا فَضَائِلْ عَظِيمَةً لَا يُمْكِنْ هَا هُنَا اسْتِقْصَاؤُهَا. Yani that this كَلِمَةِ التَّوْهِيدِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, it has many great, magnificent virtues, excellences that's not possible to look at in detail here in this particular place. وَفِي هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ أَوَّلُ مَا عَدَّبَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عِبَادِهِ مِنَ النِّعَمِ. And in this ayah, the first thing that Allah enumerates, addada, that He enumerated for His ibad, of ni'am, of blessings or favors, the first thing that He mentions is the ni'mah of tawheed. In this, yani He said in this ayat, the first thing that He has mentioned is the ni'mah, yani in this surah, Surah Al-Ni'am, which is known as Surah Al-Nahl. But the scholars said, they called it Surah Al-Ni'am because it mentions so many of the bounties and favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first of what He mentions in this surah, that mentions the favors of Allah, is the favor of La ilaha illallah. And Al-Imam Ibn Rajab rahimahullah says, وَلِهَذَا قَالَ إِبْنِ عُيَيْنَا, يعني Sufyan Ibn Uyayna rahimahullah, مَا أَنَّعْمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عَبْدٍ مِنَ الْعِبَادِ نعمة أعظم من أن عرفهم لا إله إلا الله. For this reason, Al-Imam Sufyan ibn Uyayna rahimahullah, he was a great scholar who died in the year 198. He's considered to be one of the foremost imams of the people of Sunnah in the history of Islam. Naam, he was from the Atba' al-Tabi'in, and he was a scholar of the magnitude that it is said from his students were Abdurrahman ibn Mahdi, one of the greatest scholars of hadith. Abdullah ibn Mubarak, yani one of the foremost scholars of hadith in Islam. Yahya ibn Ma'in, yani one of the leading scholars of hadith, and especially in the special sciences like yani ilal al-hadith and things like this. And Ishaq ibn Rahway, yani these, every one of these scholars are tremendous scholars, and they were counted from amongst his students. He was such a great scholar, he said that some of his teachers are also counted amongst his students. And some of his teachers went back to learn from him. Sufyan ibn Uyayna rahimahullah, he said, مَا أَنَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عَبْدٍ مِنْ الْعِبَادِ نِعْمَةٌ أَعْظَمُ مِنْ أَنْ عَرَّفَهُمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. That Allah has not favored any servant from amongst his servants with a favor that is greater than the favor of him causing them to know, yani acquainting them with La ilaha illallah. This is the greatest of all favors. Yani whatever a person has been favored, if you think that the favor of Allah upon you is that He gave you wealth, or He gave you health, or He gave you a spouse. Yani the brother who thinks that his wife is the greatest thing in his life, and if she's a righteous, yani Muslima, mu'mina, yani who helps him to obey Allah, indeed this is one of the greatest favors that he has. But the greatest of all favors, or even a woman who has a husband like that, now I'm going to make it equal, right? Or a brother or sister who's not married, who that's what they're looking for. But you can't expect to have that kind of spouse unless you're that kind of person. Yani the brother who wants a wife who's all of that, he has to be that. How then can you expect, consider yourself to be worthy of that, yani mu'mina, and you're not anything like that? Or the same thing for the sister, looking for that perfect brother. But what about you? Huh? It's easy for Allah to give you that which you want. That's easy for Allah. He does whatever He wills. But are you deserving of that? Yani, do you not feel ashamed to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask for that which you're not entitled to, you're not worthy of? You don't feel ashamed to stand in front of your Lord knowing that He knows you're not worthy of it? She might not know. She might marry you. But Allah knows. The greatest favor is the ni'mah of La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Naam, this is yani the second of the advices of Shaykh Al-Imam Muhammad Ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen yani to that we should strive to fill our hearts with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala due to all that He has done for us, the favors that He has given us, the harms that He has repulsed from us, and the greatest of them being the ni'mah of Islam and being upright upon it. Yani if you are truly worthy of being considered as from the Ahl Sunnah, the real people of Sunnah, then indeed this is a ni'mah of Allah. It's a favor from Allah. It's a gift that He has given to you. And we must strive to make ourselves worthy of it. Yani if these are the favors of Allah that He has given to us, and we know that He has given this to us, then we should reflect upon them, contemplate them, acknowledge them to such an extent that our heart becomes filled more and more and more with the love of Allah, the one who has given them to us. And this will help us to be obedient to Allah. The Shaykh, he says, وَالْأَمْرُ الثَّالِثِ. We're on page 30 in the Arabic text. وَالْأَمْرُ الثَّالِثِ. The third affair, yani from the manhaj with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالَ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ إِحْرِسْ. And we're just remembering that he said, إِحْرِسْ عَلَىٰ أَن يَكُونَ قَلْبُكَ مَمْلُوءًا بِتَعَظِيمِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ حَتَّى يَكُونَ فِي نَفْسِكَ أَعْظَمَ شَيْءٍ. Yani that the Imam rahimahullah, he said, be diligent, eager in what? Making your heart to be filled with the ta'zeem of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Filled with what? The ta'zeem of Allah. Yani the acknowledgement of Allah's magnificence, the exaltation, the glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That your heart be filled with this. Hatta yakuna, until and so that. Yani yakunu fi nafsika, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will be in yourself. Yani fi qalbika, in your heart, He will be a'azama shayin, the greatest, the most magnificent one in your heart. In your heart, there's nothing greater than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing more beloved than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing more dear to you than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, the third advice, the Shaykh is saying what? Fill your heart with ta'zeem of Allah. So that, and until, He becomes the most magnificent, the greatest, the most exalted, glorious one of everyone in your heart. And then Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, he combines these two points, yani the second matter and the third matter. The second matter, fill your heart with the love of Allah, and the third matter, fill your heart with the ta'zeem of Allah, the exaltation, glorification, magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, وَبِالْجْتِمَاعِ مَحَبَّةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَتَعَظِيمِهِ فِي قَلْبِكَ تَسْتَقِيمُ عَلَى طَاعَتِهِ قَائِمًا بِمَا عَمَرَ بِهِ لِمَحَبَّتِكَ إِيَّاهُ تَارِكًا لِمَا نَهَى عَنْهُ لِتَعَظِيمِكَ لَهُ. Yani by combining ijtima', the combining of these two things, the second and third advice, combining of the love of Allah the Most High and the exaltation, glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your heart. These are the words of the Imam. Yani bi-ijtima' habati Allah ta'ala wa ta'zeemi fi qalbika, in your heart. Not just in your mind, because some of us intellectually, yani we declare, we imagine, we proclaim that we have love of Allah in our minds. But where it really counts is in the heart. Because some people, they are praising Allah with their tongue, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, with their tongue. But if it's not in the heart, then the origin of the zikr of Allah, the glorification of Allah, the praise of Allah, is from the heart. And then it's manifested yani in speech on the tongue, and yani it is verified as being truthful by our actions. The Shaykh, he said, by the combination of the love of Allah the Most High and the exaltation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our heart, تَسْتَقِيمُ عَلَىٰ طَاعَتِهِ, then you will be upright, you will stand erect upon obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will be upright in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَائِمًا بِمَا أَمَرَ بِهِ, and you will be fulfilling that which Allah has commanded. لِمَحَبَّتِكَ إِيَّهُ, due to your love of Him. Yani these two matters, right? The love of Allah and the ta'zeem of Allah. Yani these two things, if you combine them in your heart, you will be upright in obedience to Allah. You will be fulfilling whatever Allah has commanded with due to your love of Him. Tarikan lima naha anhu lita'azimika lahu. And you will abandon whatever He has prohibited you from due to your exaltation, glorification, magnification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani what is it that will help you to be obedient to Allah? Your love of Allah, to fulfill His commands. And what is it that will help you to avoid His prohibitions? Your ta'zeem of Allah. Your, yani that in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, you see Allah as being magnificent, great, glorious, exalted. In your heart, He is exalted. And for that reason, it becomes difficult for you to be disobedient to Him. If you really love, if you have love of Allah in your heart, it will make it easier for you to be obedient to Him, to fulfill His commands. This is what the Shaykh said, yani the Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, the combination of the love of Allah and the exaltation of Allah, glorification of Allah, it is through it, combining them in your heart, that you will be upright in obedience to Him, fulfilling His commands due to your love of Him, and avoiding His prohibitions due to your exaltation or glorification of Him. The Shaykh Abdul Razak, Abdul Muhsin, Ibn Abdul Muhsin, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad, Hafizahum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them, he said, فتحرس على إمارة قلبك بالمحبة لله وتعظيم له جل في علاه. يعني so be diligent in filling your heart with the love of Allah and the glorification of Allah, the Majestic, the Most High. And then he explains to us in the same way that the love of Allah, what will help you to fill your heart with the love of Allah is to reflect on the bounties and favors that He has given you. What will help you to, yani, fill your heart with glorification of Allah? وَالتَّعْظِيمُ يُعِينُكَ عَلَيْهِ النَّظْرُ فِي آيَاتِ الْآيَاتِ الدَّالَةِ عَلَىٰ عَظَمَةِ اللَّهِ وَكَمَالِ قُدْرَتِهِ وَكَمَالِ قُوَّتِهِ وَعَظِيمِ بَطْشِهِ وَانْتِقَامِهِ وَالشَّدِيدِ عِقَابِهِ. Yani that the ta'zeem of Allah, what will help you to establish this in your heart? It is to look at another, to reflect upon, to consider, to examine the ayat which point to the greatness of Allah. Looking at, examining the signs that point to the greatness of Allah, that point to the perfection of His qudra, His power, and the perfection of His quwwah, His strength, and the greatness of His bath wal intiqam wa iqab. Yani that which shows the greatness of his strength and his retribution and his punishment. Yani if you are disobedient to him, when a person looks at this, the greatness of Allah and his power and his strength and his ability to punish, reflecting on this, he said this will help a person to fill their heart with ta'zeem of Allah. فَهَذِهِ الْأُمُورُ إِذَا تَأَمَّلَهَا الْعَبْدُ. So these things, if a person reflects upon them, وَتَعَمَّلَ أَيْضًا الْأُمُورَ الَّتِي تَعَمُرُ الْقَلْبِ بِالْمَحَبَّةِ. And also they reflect upon those things which fill your heart with love. And if you reflect upon those things that fill your heart with ta'zeem, and reflect upon those things which fill your heart with love, يُصْبِحُ عِنْدَهُ تَوَازٌ بَيْنَ الرَّجَاءِ وَالْخَوْفِ وَالرَّغْبَةِ وَالرَّحْبَةِ. Then that person will reach a position of balance. The balance between hope and fear. Yani hope of Allah's reward and hope of Allah's mercy and fear, the balance and fear of Allah's punishment and displeasure also. Yani the person will have balance between hope and fear, between a ragba and a rahba, yani being desirous of something or being in fear and awe. And then the Shaykh mentions the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hijr, 49th and 50th ayat, نَبِّ عِبَادِي أَنِّي أَنَا الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ وَأَنَّ عَذَابِي هُوَ الْعَذَابُ الْعَلِيمُ. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to announce to the people, to instruct them, to make them aware, make my worshippers aware that indeed I am the one who is forgiving and merciful. Yani forgiving to those who repent and who ask His forgiveness, and merciful to those believers who are obedient to Him. announce to my servants that I am forgiving and merciful. وَأَنَّ عَذَابِي هُوَ الْعَذَابُ الْعَلِيمُ. And also make them to know that definitely my punishment is a painful punishment. Yani for the disbelievers and those who are disobedient. The Shaykh says, combine between these two affairs. Yani hope and fear. Desire and being in awe or fear of Allah's punishment and displeasure. And then the Shaykh, he says, تَجْمَعُ بَيْنَ الْأَمْرَيْنِ. Yani join or combine between the two matters, the two affairs. مَحَبَّةً لِلَّهِ. Love of Allah, love for Allah. تَعْمُرْ بِهَا قَلْبَكَ تَسُوقُكَ إِلَى طَاعَتِهِ وَفِعْلِ مَرْضَاتِهِ وَتَعْظِيمًا لَهُ وَعِلْمًا بِعَظَمَتِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى يَزْجُرُكَ عَنْ الْوُقُوعِ فِي مَعَاصِيهِ وَمَا نَهَى تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى عِبَادَهُ عَنْهُ. Naam, the Shaykh said combine between these two affairs, that is having love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which fills your heart, and this will drive you to obedience to Him. It will drive you to be obedient to Him and to do that which yani is pleasing to Him. Love of Allah. And ta'zim, glorification of Him, knowing His greatness and His magnificence, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this will prevent you, or at least it will restrain you from falling into disobedience of Him and falling into that which He has prohibited His servants from engaging in. Al-Mahabba wa ta'zim. And the last point, yani, from the Minhaj with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Shaykh, he says, Al-Amr al-Rabi' an takuna mukhlisan lahu jalla wa ala fi ibadatik mutawakkilan alayhi fi jami'i ahwalik لتحقق بذلك مقام إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. يعني سورة فاتحة. وتستحضر بقلبك أنك إنما تقوم بما أمر امتثالا لأمره وتترك ما نهى عنه امتثالا لنهيه فإنك بذلك تجد للعبادة طعما لا تدركه مع الغفلة وتجد في الأمور عونا منه لا يحصل لك مع الاعتماد على نفسك. يعني this is the fourth advice from the first era of the Minhaj with Allah. The fourth matter is that you should be يعني sincere to Allah جل وعلا in all your acts of worship. يعني أن تكون مخلصا, be sincere, have إخلاص to Allah سبحانه وتعالى in all of your acts of worship. مُتَوَكِّلًا عَلَيْهِ فِي جِمِيعِ أَحْوَالِكَ. And that you be dependent upon Allah, reliant upon Allah, putting your trust in Him, فِي جِمِيعِ أَحْوَالِكَ, in all of your situations or circumstances, whatever it might be, rely upon Allah alone. And in this way, if the person is sincere in their worship of Allah, and they are putting their, yani, relying upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every situation or circumstance, in this way, they will achieve the station that is mentioned, the station, the status, the position of إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Yani, you alone do we worship and you alone do we seek help or aid from. Surah Al-Fatiha. Then the Shaykh Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Thaymin, he says, after mentioning this, he said that call to mind, be conscious of in your heart, the fact that you, أَنَّكَ إِنَّمَا تَقُومُ بِمَا عَمَرَ امْتِثَالًا لِأَمْرِهِ. That the only reason why you are fulfilling that which He has commanded you with is in compliance with His command. Yani the reason why you are doing it is because you want to comply with His command. No other reason. That there's some benefit to you in the society, with the people, with your family or whatever. You are not in compliance, that you are not fulfilling something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded you with for any reason except in order to comply with His command, because it is His command. وَتَطْرُكُ ما نهى عنه امتثالا لنهيه. And you are not leaving anything that Allah has prohibited except for the reason that you want to comply with His prohibition. يعني you want to avoid that which He has prohibited. تستحضر بقلبك. يعني this you should be conscious in your heart of this reality, that you are not doing anything that you have been commanded with except because it's the command of Allah, and you are not leaving anything that you have been prohibited from except because it is Allah who has prohibited you from it. فَإِنَّكَ. So what is the benefit of this? The Shaykh says, فَإِنَّكَ بِذَلِكَ تَجِدُ لِلْعِبَادَةِ طَعَمًا. Because in doing so, you will find in the worship that you do, that you act upon, that you fulfill, that you engage in, you will find a ta'am, yani a taste, a sweetness, la tudrukuhu ma'al ghafla, that you will not experience if you are unmindful, if you are heedless. Yani if you are just making salat, not being conscious of the fact that you are praying because Allah has commanded you with this prayer. If you are not conscious of that, you will not experience this sweetness of iman that you will experience in complying with the command of Allah. You will not experience it if you are heedless, if you are unmindful. وَتَجِدُ فِي الْأُمُورِ أَوْنًا مِنْهُ لَا يَحْصُلْ لَكَ مَا الْعِتِمَالَ عَلَى نَفْسِكَ. And you will also find in your affairs, in all affairs, you will find help and assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you would never have achieved if you had simply relied upon yourself. Yani if you do whatever you're doing, being conscious that I'm doing this act because Allah has ordered it, I am avoiding this matter because Allah has prohibited it. If a person has this consciousness in their heart and in their mind that this is why I am doing it, I understand, I'm conscious, I am aware of what I'm doing and why am I doing it, then in that case a person will experience in their worship, yani they're worshipping Allah alone because Allah has ordered them to worship Him alone. They will experience a sweetness of in that worship that they wouldn't have experienced if they were not conscious of this affair. And they will also yani realize, they will get help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in doing what they are doing that they would never have gotten if they relied upon their self alone. If they are conscious that they're worshipping Allah with help from Him. So indeed the Shaykh says, فَأَنْتَ بِحَاجَةٍ إِلَىٰ إِخْلَاصِ وَتَوَكُّلِ. These are two things that every Muslim is in need of: sincerity in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing it for Allah alone, being conscious of doing it for Allah alone. What tawakkul, and relying upon Allah in the worship, and whatever you're trying to do, you're trying to fulfill a command or avoid a prohibition, putting your trust in Allah, relying upon Allah, asking for help from Allah, ikhlas and tawakkul. And then he mentions the saying of Allah in Surah Hud, فَعَبُدْهُ وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَيْهِ. Therefore worship Him, yani worship Him alone, and rely upon Him, yani depend upon Him, seek help from Him in worshipping Him. And the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, yani احرص على ما ينفعك واستعن بالله. Yani be eager and diligent in seeking that which benefits you, and seek help from Allah in doing it. And in that hadith the Prophet said, وَلَا تَعَجِزْ. Yani احرص على ما ينفعك. Seek, eagerly seek that which will benefit you. And the most beneficial things are the things of the hereafter. وَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. And seek help from Allah in doing that which you are trying to do of good. وَلَا تَعَجَزْ. And don't feel helpless, incapable, unable. If you go after it and you work hard and you ask Allah's help, you can do it with the help of Allah. And then the Shaykh, he closes, and this is what we're going to close with, even though we still have some time left. The Shaykh says, yani this ayah, that if a person, the Shaykh said, if a person has ikhlas in all of the acts of worship, and if they, yani, seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani, depend upon Allah, rely upon Allah in every situation and circumstance, then they would achieve the station of Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in. Yani this is the station of the person who is attempting, who has yani made resolve to worship Allah alone, and they have resolved upon seeking help from Allah alone in order to worship Him alone. This is a high station, and the Shaykh says that everybody, every person is in need of this, these two things, to reach this station, worshiping Allah alone and seeking help from Him alone. He said the saying of Allah in this noble ayat, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ هَذَا تَحْقِيقٌ لِلَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Yani, if a person actually does this, worship Allah alone, they will. This is the realization, the achievement of La ilaha illallah. Yani, when a person enters into Islam, yani they have to enter into Islam upon La ilaha illallah, and this is the realization of that saying of La ilaha illallah. It is to worship Allah alone. Iyaka na'budu, A, the meaning of it, yani the apparent meaning of it, is you alone we worship. I mean, that's the literal meaning of it. Iyaka na'budu, you alone we worship. The Shaykh says the implicit meaning, what is also implied as yani in addition to the explicit meaning, and what is clearly stated, what is implied, is na'buduka wa la na'budu ghayraka mukhlisina laka ad-din. Yani that we worship you and we do not worship anything besides you. Yani what is explicit is that we worship Allah alone, and what is implicit in this statement is that we don't worship anything besides you. And this is understood because of the hasr that came in this ayat in the expression iyyaka na'budu, as opposed to na'buduka, which literally means we worship you. But iyyaka na'budu means that that worship that is being given to Allah is limited to Him alone, because the object of the verb came before the verb, and this is a form of hasr, yani meaning that the worship is for you alone. Na'buduka wa la na'budu ghayraka mukhlisina laka ad-din, yani that we are making the deen purely for you alone. Wa iyyaka nasta'in, and it is you that we seek help from. This is tahqiqun li la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. It is the realization, the achievement of this statement, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There is no power and there is no strength except with Allah. Meaning there is no ability to do any good or to refrain from any evil except by the power and the strength of Allah. For indeed, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah is the word of isti'ana. It is the word that indicates seeking help. That Allah alone is the one who has the power and ability, therefore He is the one that we ask for help and aid. Iyaka nasta'in, the Shaykh says, A, yani, nasta'inu bika, wa la nasta'inu bighayrika. Yani that we seek help from you, and we do not seek help from other than you. Yani if a person came to you and said, I'm seeking help from you, that doesn't indicate that they're not also, when they leave you, go and seeking help from somebody else. Or before they came, they already asked somebody else for help. They say, I'm seeking help from you. And before that, they were seeking help from somebody else, and when they leave you, they're going to somebody else. But when you say, Iyaka nasta'in, that means that I'm seeking help from you and you alone. Nasta'inuka wa la nasta'inu bighayrika. That we're seeking help from you and we are not seeking help from anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the Shaykh closes by saying, وَبِهَذَيْنِ الْأَمْرَيْنِ إِخْلَاصَ الْعِبَادَةِ لِلَّهِ وَإِخْلَاصَ الْإِسْتِعَانَةِ بِهِ جَلَّ فِي عُلَاهُ يَسْتَقِيمُ لِلْمَرْءِ عِلْمُهُ وَعَمَلُهُ وَتَسْتَقِيمُ حَيَاتُهُ عَلَى طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ جَلَّ فِي عُلَاهُ. Yani the Shaykh said, with these two affairs, yani the sincerity and the worship, yani making the worship for Allah alone, not doing any act of worship except that, it is purely for the sake of Allah, with no other objective or intent behind it, no other goal or hope, except to earn the pleasure of Allah. This matter and the ikhlas of isti'ana, yani isti'ana being a type of worship, and this is also a point here that the yani ibadah, if a person is making the ibadah for Allah alone, this includes isti'anah, but to emphasize the importance of this particular act of worship, and that is seeking help from Allah alone, it is mentioned separately, even though it's included in ikhlas al-ibadah. Yani ikhlas al-ibadah for Allah, making all worship for Allah alone, and especially and particularly in this particular situation, making the act of seeking help, seeking aid, yani that it be, the aid is sought from Allah alone, this will make the person's knowledge and their deeds to be upright. Yani their knowledge will be upright if they worship Allah alone. They will be upon yani correct knowledge, because the worship of Allah alone is what is correct. And their deeds will be upright, because if they seek help from Allah alone in the worship of Him alone, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help them, and their deeds will also be upright. And in this way, if a person's knowledge and their action is upright, تَسْتَقِيمُ حَيَاتُهُ, then his life will be upright, established upon the obedience of Allah Jalla, yani the Majestic, the Most High. This is the end of what the Shaykh said. And there is a footnote here that Ibn Qayyim said. Many times I used to hear Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, may Allah yani purify his soul. He said, I used to hear him say, Iyyaka na'budu repulses ar-riya. Yani this statement, yani acting upon it, the realization of it, removes riya, ostentation. Yani removes a person from falling into doing an act of worship to be seen by the people. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ تَدْفَعُ الْكِبْرِيَاءَ, and that إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, seeking help from Allah alone, yani acknowledging that help must be sought, and that it must be sought from Allah alone, repulses الْكِبْرِيَاءَ, that a person is proud or arrogant because they're acknowledging that they need the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also Ibn Qayyim also said, yani those who have knowledge, the people of knowledge, the arifina, all of them are in agreement that التوفيق, success is in Allah, la yakiluka, yakiluka, that Allah doesn't leave you on your own, to yourself, to take care of yourself. And being abandoned is that Allah leaves you to take care of yourself. Yani if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani you will be successful if Allah doesn't leave you on your own, even for the blinking of an eye, and you will fail and you will be lost if Allah does leave you on your own to take care of yourself. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. We have just a couple of minutes before the adhan. So, mashallah, if there are any questions that yani are related to clarification of what has been said, yani something that we said which is not clear here. Ya Abdullah. Now, any question? Okay, good. MashaAllah, this is good. Subhanakallah. Barakallah fikum. Okay, brothers and sisters, inshallah, I just want to remind you about the masjid. And, you know, and it's just a reminder, because we are human beings, sometimes we forget. Please try to, yani, according to your ability, give something for the masjid. And also, I want to remind you of those who have children, the summer camp. Where's Ibrahim? The summer camp, when is it? July 3rd, starting July 3rd at Masjid Kitab al-Hikmah. If they want to bring them on Saturday or Sunday, they can roll them. Anyway, Ibrahim, in case whoever doesn't know you, everybody probably knows you here, but just raise your hand so people can see. If anybody has children, they want to put them in a summer camp, anyway, they're going to learn Islam, and they're going to yani practice Islam, and they're going to worship, and they're going to have some fun at the same time, memorize the Quran, learn Arabic, then please bring them to the camp. That's one announcement. Second announcement, on Sunday, July 14th, we're going to start a class, which is going to be for those who want to begin to learn Arabic. Arabic alphabets. Okay? If you already know a lot, then this may not be for you, because you'll probably be bored. But if you want to learn the alphabets, or you want to review them, yani the alphabets, okay? So that nobody doesn't come in and say, wow, this is going too slow, this is baby stuff. That's what it's intended to be. We're supposed to take our time. We're going to learn the alphabets, letter by letter, vowel by vowel, everything that's necessary to know how to read and to write and to pronounce Arabic words. 53 lessons. Inshallah, we're going to start on Sunday, July 14th, 12 o'clock to 1:30 every Sunday here at the masjid. There's a place for sisters as well. This is the book, Let's Begin to Read Arabic, by Dr. Abdurrahim, the author and the founder of the Arabic Language Institute at the Islamic University of Medina. May Allah protect and preserve him. From 12 until 1:30. 12 o'clock noon until 1:30. 12 o'clock noon until 1:30. That means that you have to yani get up on Sunday morning and be here by 12 o'clock. We're going to start at 12 o'clock. So you should get here before 12, because when you enter the masjid, you should pray 2 rak'ah, right? I mean, you have to get here before 12. Don't come at 12 and then want to pray 2 rak'ah and the class is already in session. But we really do encourage those who want to learn Arabic. This is a good opportunity. It's an easy book. It's one of the best books that have been written for this purpose by one of the greatest scholars of Arabic language living in the world today. That's a fact. Now, the book is an excellent book. It's very easy to follow. This is what it looks like. The brother has it in the back. This is what it looks like. Inshallah, on Sundays, we're going to have some copies here. Sundays during our regular classes from 12 to 5 o'clock, we're going to be here for regular classes. So if anybody would like to get a copy of the book costs $10. They can get a copy here at the masjid, or they can go to Dar es Salaam and get it there for $10. Or they can maybe buy it online also. That's what I understand. I'm not an online buyer, but in any case, you can also get it online somewhere. And we still have regular classes on Sunday, 12:30. We're reviewing some of the important matters related to reading and writing Arabic. At 2 o'clock we have Medina Book 2. At 3 o'clock we have Medina Book 1 at 2 o'clock. And Medina Book 2 at 3 o'clock. And Level 3 Fiqh, Medina Arabic Fiqh at 4 o'clock. So every Sunday, inshallah, we have classes here. Any of those who are interested in Arabic, please come and be with us. Jazakum Allahu khair wa barakallahu feekum.